the X-ray brass.
Hey guys, I don't know why, but I still laugh at that. I've heard it 47 million times. That's a slight exaggeration. Hey, welcome to the Angry Dorks podcast. This is our eighth one. It's pretty awesome. We also have what we got going on today. We got Ed Greer. Say hello, Ed Greer.
What's up?
Yeah. Matt Blackwood.
Hello, Ed Greer.
nice. So here's actually what we got Bruce Jingles on the line now. Bruce, you there?
I'm here.
Yay. Hey, say hello, Bruce Jingles.
Hello, Bruce Jingles.
Well done. Well
Live
done.
From a taqueria.
Live from a taqueria. Well, yeah, what are you doing?
It's Bruce Jingles.
What are you doing?
What are you
Not
doing?
Who are you?
Not who are you?
I'm watching wrestling.
Well, okay, cool. So you won't be distracted at all.
No, I just left the room.
Not if one of his top five black superheroes is Virgil.
Virgil is one of your top five superheroes.
So that's what we're going to talk about. But before we
hey guys,
talk
black
about
suit
that.
Black suit Spider-Man counts, right?
Yeah, the new Spider-Man?
Have we started the list yet?
Oh, black suit Spider-Man? No, we haven't yet. We're just about to get started. First, though, because we always have to rush the plugs, I'm saying let's do some plugs up front so that way we can get it out of the way. Ed Greer, got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm in Temecula next Wednesday with Ron Swallow.
Yeah, we're going next Wednesday. I'm actually headlining a show, so you can come see me headline a show. It's going to be lots of fun in Temecula.
Oh, right on.
At the Edge. The Edge Lounge.
That's pretty strip club, DJ.
Yeah, get your dollar bills out. Ron Swallow's going to be at the Edge. I'm also going to be at the Ontario Improv October 30th. Hey,
good for you.
I'm sorry, what?
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. That's going to be one of Trisha's.
Is that Trisha's show?
Yeah.
Right on.
It's going to be fun. You got anything coming up you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm at the Tap House in Huntington Beach tomorrow.
Nice.
Wednesday, I am at Ernie's Other Place in Anaheim. Both those shows are free. You can go by there. But Friday and Saturday, me and Ron Swallow, we're on a tour.
Oh, that's right.
We're doing... during the Edgewater on Saturday. Tickets on sale now, almost sold out. And we're doing the Casablanca Casino in Mesquite.
Yep.
Mesquite, Nevada?
Yep.
Yeah, Mesquite, Nevada.
On Friday.
On Saturday.
Oh, which one? I thought it was Friday, Saturday, 12th and 13th.
No. Huh? Edgewater, Friday, Mesquite, Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, we're going to tell jokes in front of drunk people at a casino. It's going to be awesome.
What else is new?
Yeah. Matt, you got anything?
Listen to my podcast. What were we talking about?
It's awesome. I listen to it.
Thank you.
It's
yeah,
good.
Just dropped a new episode yesterday talking about Game of Thrones with Guy Branum.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, dude, that's great.
That's pretty exciting. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Today we're going to list the top 10, each of our own top five black superheroes.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
This was your
first
idea, wasn't it, Jingles?
It was Bruce's idea. You want to go first, Bruce?
Yes, I will.
All right.
So we're gonna each do five and then each do four, right?
Something yeah, like let's that. Do that. You start off with one of the ones you want to talk about and say why you like them and who they are.
Okay. Number one African-American or black superhero of all time.
Oh, you're starting
You're going to start off with number one
no,
or you want to start off with number five?
No, I'm going to start off with the big one.
Okay.
Fuck that. Do this shit.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear what you think.
T'Challa.
Okay.
The Black Panther, king of the African nation of Wakanda, supplier of the world's supply of vibranium.
Okay. Any reason you choose T'Challa?
He's the only African-American to be a member of two major superhero teams, the Avengers and the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
He's a badass. He's actually one of the only black superheroes that wasn't like a Luke Cage that was all ghetto and shit. He was actually a regal. He was regal. He was royalty.
Yeah, I'm pretty intelligent.
Yeah, and by the way, Wakanda is a neighboring country of Zamunda.
It's not part of Djibouti?
No, no, it's right by Zamunda.
Everybody likes to say Djibouti.
You don't sleep with your bathers?
You know I do.
I do.
Where's my son, T'Challa?
No, I would second. I mean, honestly, since we're just going to the tippity top, we're going to probably, if we go top to bottom, it'll be hilarious because we'll start out with this regal figure.
Yeah.
This great regal figure. One thing I really got to say about T'Challa, the Black Panther, is so fucking cool that they have mishandled him for 30 years, and he's still cool. He's still cool.
I could see your point there.
I have,
because that's my biggest problem with him is I feel like they've almost made him like a mockery.
I have to disagree. They have messed up a lot, but I think that's
they haven't messed up too bad.
But
Think they did good on Black Panther?
No, I'm saying in general with Marvel, they will fuck up their characters given enough time. They will hang themselves. I think that there are definitely several Black Panther runs and stories and stuff that you can pull out.
Yeah, but the Dennis Cowan, number one, the Dennis Cowan story arc where he took over the art, which was also based on, which the cartoon based itself off of. Because they use all of Dennis Cowan's artwork.
Yeah, that's a really good cartoon.
Yeah, Dennis Cowan is definitely, he drew my favorite runs of Luke Cage and Black
Panther. And Power Man, exactly.
Yeah, that's badass.
So, yeah, but what I mean by mishandled is like, okay, we got a dude who literally owns the most technologically advanced country in the world.
In Africa.
Yeah.
If not the world.
If not the world, because like, what country is fucking with that? Latveria? They got one dude in a castle.
Yeah, Eric Barnes says no one fucks with Wakanda.
Yeah,
no, nobody fucks with Wakanda.
And let me interrupt real quick just to say that was my that was tied for my favorite Secret Invasion tie-in when the Skrulls just go full on invasion. And they just and they don't fucking take Wakanda. They go after it, and that's like one of the one places on Earth. Like they basically take over everything for like a week,
except
or so,
Wakanda.
A couple days, except fucking Wakanda. They that fucking storyline ends with some Skrulls looking at like footage from space where they can see basically Skrull heads on fucking pikes surrounding that country. That's how that motherfucking thing ends. That is
no,
badass.
Because you know why? Because Wakanda was about to go Shaka Zulu on some Skrulls.
I think that's what they did.
Oh, somebody said this guy Houston Longino.
Oh yeah, it's my buddy from back home in Mississippi.
He says, "Aren't the Wakandians just lucky to happen to have vibranium?"
That's true.
Well, what do you expect for somebody from Mississippi?
look how many places have resources, though. I mean, we're looking at, like, you know what I mean? There's a bunch of places that have resources and then just get taken out of them. Wakanda was one of the only African nations was like, hey, white man, we have something. You can't take it from us right now. And
exactly.
You know,
it could have ended up being like Blood Diamonds where, you know, a bunch of people were just coming in and getting their kids to fucking mine vibranium.
Well, and look, I don't remember exactly, but didn't they actually... Oh, he put "oh snap" when you said Mississippi. By the way, that was funny. Didn't aliens drop vibranium there? Am I remembering incorrectly?
I don't think so.
Well, that might be.
And
some
then
way
said, "Hey, protect this shit."
I think you might be thinking of Earth X or Universe X.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
Where it sort of retold the entire.
It retold the origin of vibranium.
It was a really cool fucking comic, but it's not canon.
It's not canon. Okay.
Well, yeah, and plus, like, it might come from a giant meteorite or something.
Yeah.
That hit Wakanda and buried itself in the ground, and then all the vibranium or some, you know, metastasization.
Yeah. Ooh, good word. So, is Black Panther on your list?
I mean, Black Panther's on my list, and he was definitely going to be number one because he actually, like I said, and the last thing I would say is the mishandling part. He never gets to be the coolest. He should be the Batman of the Marvel Universe. They always say
he actually should be.
Instead, they put him in the city, and it's like, oh yeah, he's like Daredevil, except without that cool sound thing. Oh, he's
well. That's
he's
why
like
I think
Moon
that Batwing character is a Black Panther ripoff.
Right. Yeah, well, he's like Spider-Man, except for that whole spider thing. They just put him in the city beating up dudes in alleys, and you're like, he should be fucking badass. He should be like what they do with Batman in the Justice League, which, let's be fair, way out of his league. He's way out of his league in the Justice League.
Well, and that's what's best about him.
He should be in the Avengers fucking leading shit.
Yeah, because he's the one who makes plans.
Exactly.
And makes everything come
together. He should be the Captain America of the Avengers when Captain America isn't around.
Yeah.
Right, but that's...
Oh, Little Panther? Yeah. That's very... Yeah.
And
I agree.
The fact is, though, like I said, they go out of their way. Like, we should talk about this. They go out of their way to make the black characters just a little sub of the actual white characters that they're around. Like, if you look at the Marvel Universe, Captain America is the pinnacle of human perfection. He could lift 800 pounds. Look at Black Panther entry. He could lift 750. Nigga, why you taking my 50 pounds? Yeah. Why can't I just be as dope as Captain America with a...
Yeah, look what they had to do with
all that fast twitch muscle fiber, help him to lift a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. You take a milk toast white boy and throw some bullshit at him and make him tight, then a black dude should be super duper dope.
Well, look what they had to do. Well, Captain America was losing fans in the 70s. Look what they had to do. They had to pair him up with the Falcon.
Yeah.
A former pimp with wings.
Yeah.
Hey, bitch, I ain't got no cape. I got these wings, though.
I got these wings.
Oh, okay.
Which was also one of the first. The Falcon was also one of the first Marvel limited series. It was a 4-issue limited series. I forgot who wrote it, but I know Paul Smith wrote it. He was one of the better artists on the X-Men in the early runs.
Paul Smith, very clean style.
Eric puts, didn't Panther beat Cap in a fight? And according to the cartoon, there's a cartoon version, he fights him to a standstill, and then Cap takes off. So I think it's basically a tie, but he did fucking throw a beat down on Cap for sure.
Real quick, the Falcon ain't on anybody's list, is it?
No. And
it was going to be on my list, but I had to choose between him and Luke Cage, and I chose neither.
Oh, snap. Sweet Christmas. Why didn't you?
Why didn't you?
This is the thing about Falcon to me. The Falcon strikes me as Marvel's version of Aquaman, where you're like, you can talk to birds. It's like you can fly and you can talk to birds. It just doesn't seem that powerful.
There's only one bird he talks to. That's Red Wing.
He can only talk to one bird.
It's the Falcon.
Aquaman.
But he can
least,
fly around
at
a little
least,
bit.
You know, you got to remind people that he's super strong and invulnerable. But like, Falcon's got nothing.
He's got some martial arts and he's got some leading ability and all that good shit too. Mm. The thing that's cool about Falcon, I think, is arguable. It's also something that I like about Wolverine is like a redemption character, because he was kind of a shitty person who then ends up changing and becoming a better person. And I like when that happens in comics. Well, I think that's a cool thing.
And I got to say, that's the one reason why T'Challa gets to be number one is, of all the black characters we're about to name me one that is known to be smart.
Steel.
His main thing is to be smart. I don't fucking like Steel. We're gonna get into
Steel.
Why I hate Steel.
Steel's on my list. That's who I want. By the way,
Mantis is also.
Oh God!
I'm picking
Mantis.
Steel, and let me tell you why I picked Steel. Dude, the reason I like Steel is he's a self-made superhero who made a decision to stand up for stuff when he got inspired. And
by a white man. Well,
hey, but whatever.
By a white man.
The black version of Supergirl. It's
No. Say what it is. Say what it is, Ed. He's the superpowered John Henry. That's all it is. Yep. He's gonna go steaming through a mountain, and that's it.
Yeah, but he's badass because he decided to stand up for what he believes is right. And
all he is,
always been smart.
All he is a black ass Thor wearing armor.
He is not either, and I'll tell you why.
Because he's got that hammer too.
I'll tell you why. Because he was also a scientist who stopped being who was like designing things and designing weapons and stuff like that. And then when they were used incorrectly and kind of felt like guilty about it.
Okay, so he's a black Tony Stark?
He kind of is. He's smart. No. And he wants...
Well, that was called Rhodey. That's called War Machine.
Nah.
Yeah, except
I
War
was
Machine,
thinking about War Machine.
If War Machine's War armor Machine. Broke, he wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. He's number three on my list.
He can just fight. Oh, War Machine is?
We're going to have to just end up going through his list.
Yeah. Number two, because I got to kind of get going. Number two is Storm.
Storm, fuck yeah.
I got Storm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got Storm.
I did not have Storm on my list.
What's your reasoning behind Storm?
So far, y'all haven't touched my list, so this will be interesting.
This will be.
Because she evolved so much from when she first appeared.
Okay.
From being somewhat regal until... And then the Morlock saga when she got the Mohawk.
Oh, she was so fucking badass with that Mohawk. Beating people's asses without powers. Yeah. She, when she got depowered, like all the fucking... Marvel mutants got depowered for a little bit, or like what, 95% of them or something, yeah. And they all became whiny pussies. Storm was like, I got depowered.
Storm was
more badass. Yeah. I learned to fight, and then when I got my powers back, I was more badass than ever.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, she's also T'Challa's chick.
For a minute.
Yeah, until this day.
Okay. Let's talk about
also,
that.
But you also got to remember, she was the orphan that grew up on the mean streets of fucking
Africa.
Exactly.
That's why
Egypt.
I like her, too.
In Egypt, yeah, Cairo.
The mean dirt roads of Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. All right.
He's fighting lions and shit.
Okay.
Well, no, she was born in a city, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she was born in a city, and she had a big collapse that makes her scared of enclosed spaces, which is another thing that makes her vulnerable, but that's
it's a very specific thing about her. Like, it's a great thing. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's black. You know what I mean? That's just a specific character thing that nobody else has. It's really interesting, and it makes for some cool situations, especially when you consider how much power she has. The question I was going to ask about that marriage, when that first was announced, I was like, that is some racist shit. They grabbed a black chick who lives in San Francisco and the black guy that lives in Africa, and they're like, black person, have you met other black person?
That's like anytime you introduce another gay guy to a gay guy, and you're like, you guys should get along.
I know
both
two
gay
guys. They should definitely date each other.
Well, especially with all that Wakanda augmentation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's got vibranium in it, so it's like his dick is like a vibrator or something.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty badass.
Okay, so but when they first said that, I was like, that seems a little bullshit. But reading them together, I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, well, you know, they actually seem like it seems kind of like an arranged marriage, and they know it's an arranged marriage.
And it was also discussed on the cartoon.
Oh, was it
on the Black Panther? Yeah, on the Black Panther cartoon, it was discussed.
But
he was actually a co-star on it.
They dissolved it, though, didn't they?
No, not really. He got an annulment. The Panther clan granted him an annulment, which is on some weird shit. Like, yo, my uncle T'Chaka fucking dissolved our marriage. My bad, bitch. You know?
Yeah, I just read that. That's in Avengers, right? Yeah. Avengers versus X-Men.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they were fighting on opposite sides.
Lame. And that's what we were talking about earlier, that event comics like will ruin shit.
Well, yeah, but they use it to make upheaval changes. All right, Jingles, what's the rest of your list, buddy?
Rest of the list is number 4, Spawn.
Spawn is on my list. You touched my list.
And number 5, I'm going to have to go... Snake Eyes. No.
Dude, I wish Snake Eyes was black so fucking bad.
You know what? Every black kid growing up wished that Snake Eyes was black. Just like every kid that saw Return of the Jedi was hoping that James Earl Jones would be under the helmet instead of Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, exactly.
Spawn. Number 5, black superhero?
Yep.
Luke Cage, I guess. Okay. I guess Luke Cage has to take it.
I got different ones, but...
All right, let's talk about Spawn for a second.
Yeah.
I love Spawn for... not just the animated series. Like, there were a lot of good standalone issues of that book as well. I never could get into the big canon of it, and I couldn't. I mean, that movie was not good.
The limitation of that he will die after the 100th issue bullshit, and he just somehow miraculously lived.
Yeah,
because that was the interesting thing about that character that Tom McFarlane said adamantly that he will die. He's going to end the run at 100 issues.
Yeah, I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago on this podcast, but one of my favorite shows ever that got canceled before its time was Brimstone. And that's basically just a ripoff of Spawn. like that plot is the same thing. It's like this guy is Hell's Soldier, and he's using all of his powers to do as good as he can while he fucking burns out. I love that.
Yeah.
You talk about redemption characters. You're talking about a character that's redeeming himself for the shit he's gonna do that he's not gonna have a choice in. He's trying to do as much good as he can before he becomes fucking
hell
god.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. And Spawn, I like Spawn, and this is just on a, for one, he's black, but he just happens to be black. Does that make any sense?
No, yeah. It doesn't matter that he's black.
It doesn't matter. He's just a dude who happened to have...
Yeah, he just was like a special ops dude. Got fucked up.
Ed, you remember in Secret Wars when Iron Man's and James Rhodes was wearing the armor? Remember in Secret Wars when his armor was fucked up and they're on the planet and he had to take off that? He had to take off the armor, and then he looked at Reed Richards. I bet you're surprised to see a black man under the armor. He's all, no, I just knew there would be a man under it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, I loved one of those. I loved that panel. That's one of my favorite ones. That and the Hulk lifting up a whole mountain.
Oh, that was awesome.
those two things from Secret Wars were the best.
And Spider-Man's new costume. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. But yeah, all right, yeah, and Spider-Man with the black costume counts.
Yeah,
he's another great black superhero.
Yep. Well, there's a new Spider-Man.
A black and Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Black and Puerto
Rican. He should be Cockroach Man. That's
Cucaracha to you.
No, I tell you another black superhero that almost made my list.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Morris as the Ant-Man on that classic Saturday Night Live skits when Margot Kidder hosted and she had the superhero party.
The superhero party is one of my favorite sketches of all time.
Have you ever noticed
that you never see Clark Kent and the Incredible Hulk in the same room at the same time?
Yeah. Or like, who are you? I am Ant-Man. What do you do? I shrink down to the size of an ant and retain my human strength. Ooh.
Eric Barnes said, what, no black Vulcan?
No.
You mean Super Bowl.
You mean Black Lightning?
Yeah, that black Vulcan was the vulgarization of him for the Super Friends cartoon.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to include the Captain Marvel chick from the Avengers.
She's on my list. Monica Rambeau is on my list.
You know what? I would include
Monica Rambeau's made your list.
She is fucking badass. I don't know if you've read Next Wave, but like, she did all this shit in. In the Avengers, she was a leader of the Avengers for a bit, and she never got popular as a character, and nobody ever.
It's probably because of that hairstyle.
They're like too afroed out, can't do it.
Well,
yeah.
No writer, no editor, and no fans apparently, or at least as far as we could tell, there was not fan outcry for it, but she never got her due, and fucking Warren Ellis put her in Next Wave as the leader of that team. And he made her, she actually voices those concerns. She says things like, you know, I led the Avengers, you know, all the time. Like, she says it all the time. Like, it's a point of pride and hurt for her. But she's extremely powerful. She's a good leader. She's an all-around goddamn great superhero. And she's a woman and she's black. And so she never got any of the credit that she deserved.
Which one was it?
Black Panther should fuck her.
Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
He should rush.
They were both Avengers.
Yeah.
Black Panther should fuck everybody black in the Marvel universe. Robertson, all them motherfuckers.
Wait a minute, can we make it really racist? And is there any chubby white girls in the Marvel universe that we can think of?
Big Bertha.
Oh, that T'Challa should be nailing?
Yeah.
Well, I think if Ms. Marvel ate some more food, she could get kind of chunky.
It depends. If Frank Cho draws a bitch.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, I got to get going. I'll call you guys back.
All right, man.
See you later, Bruce.
Call back in. Bye.
Basically, I agree with a lot of Bruce's list. I just really, honestly, man, Spawn, just, I was a kid in the 90s. I bought the books. And as soon as it started becoming readily apparent that this dude was a magic douche. And then
magic.
And every fucking thing was solved by these magic-y chains or his magic-y cape that looks stupid as fuck.
And he did get get brand new powers whenever he needed them. That's true.
Whenever he needed them, it was annoying. Fuck, dude. My greatest heroes are like, yo, my armor is running out of energy, or my hammer is away, or my shield is broken, or whatever. My favorite heroes.
But I'm still gonna fight on.
Yeah, and I'm still going to fight on.
And that's somebody that's on my list.
You know what? I'm going to replace Spawn on my list, actually. I think you're right. And he already covered it anyway, so.
On my list, I have John Stewart, the Black Green Lantern. The reason I like him, that guy has the worst shit happen to him over and over and over again. And
that's
he just
a good
keeps
superhero.
Being a superhero. I love stuff like that. I love when
What sort of stuff has happened to him?
Dude, he's every fucking thing.
He's lost as many girlfriends as Wolverine. Right?
Yeah, he's fucking. And not only that, but they brought her back to life at one point and then killed her again. Yeah.
Wow.
It's brilliant.
He's always blamed for like stealing shit. Or
that's fucking fucked up.
Like all kinds of terrible shit happens to this guy, all because they were like, we think you'd be a good Green Lantern. He was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And they're like, no, you're gonna do that. Well, and then he went after it.
And he also became superfluous when they brought Hal Jordan back. They're like, there'll just be two on Earth. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Right. Earth gets two fucking Green Lanterns.
Well, no, that's the thing, is that the sector, I think it's 2814. That's ridiculous if I actually remembered that correctly.
You remembered it correctly.
Holy shit. But they basically were like, oh yeah, Hal Jordan, Earth, and John Stewart everywhere in the sector that's not Earth.
Wow.
I'm not fucking kidding.
Dude,
I swear
Operation Human Shield. It's pretty true.
Yes,
Green Lantern.
It's basically it.
And let me say that again, that sucks because John Stewart's a great character. He's got more willpower than all of the Green Lanterns, as far as I'm concerned, because he really does go through some way terrible. And I'm not saying Hal Jordan hasn't been through some shit in Kyle Rayner.
It was not even when I was getting my Justice League movie pitch together for you guys that we'll eventually get to. It was not even a question for me. It was. Oh, hey, are you going to put a Green Lantern in there? John Stewart.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a question.
He's the guy.
It didn't occur to me whether I was going to do Kyle or Guy or anything like that. It was, yeah, of course, John Stewart. John Stewart's a great fucking character.
If I didn't despise so many DC heroes besides Batman, I probably would have gotten into John Stewart. But I just felt like I don't like it when they have black characters be legacy heroes. That's why I really despised it.
And that's why he's not on my list.
Yeah, when they did Black Panther that way. And Steel. And Steel is just like he's like an adjunct of Superman.
And the new Black Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was going to put, and what was interesting is I actually, on some like just shake it up and make you guys go, what the fuck? I was going to put the new Ultimates Black Spider-Man on the list, not because he's one of the greatest black superheroes. I don't think that's necessarily right.
No.
But he is a really cool iteration. He's the ultimate iteration of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point of them ultimatizing everything was to, okay, we can't do this in the 616 universe, but we can do it in this other universe and explore some aspects of the character. Like when Spider-Man was 14, it was so much more compelling. When he's 14, 15, he's got to go to school. He's got to get up in the morning, eat some wheat cakes. When he's fucking banging a model and saving the world with great elan, that's not interesting.
No.
When he's a fucking dude, you know what I mean?
I think it is still interesting, but I think what you do is you fucking introduce new goddamn characters that are teenagers that we care about and stop going like, oh, well, we got no business but the old characters. It's like, no, introduce new characters. You think it can't happen? Look at all the fucking indie books that pop up every year.
That are great.
They get some readership. How? Because they're good, because they get the word of mouth, whatever. And you're fucking Marvel. You can advertise your shit in another book. You can have that hero pop up in a book. Why aren't your new heroes launching? Because they suck and because there are weak shadows of your current characters.
I agree with that assessment. All I'm saying is in regards to them blacking up Spider-Man, they blacked him up and they made him young. And I think if Spider-Man is really going to be indicative of the everyman and the fucking blah, blah, another fucking white boy doing that, if you're going to have a whole new universe, to have a whole new set of heroes, why do the same fucking stories over and over
again?
They made him the exact same as he was in the 616 universe. By the end of Bendis' run, that Spider-Man was exactly like the Spider-Man in the other universe. Yeah. What the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this up specifically for Mandy. When that came out, she was happy. Black Spider-Man, sure. And then when it came out that he was mixed race, she felt like that was like so pandering. It was almost like they were like, hey, we think we're gonna make this one black, but can we make it a twofer and make him Puerto Rican as well?
Latino.
It's like that way we don't have to create another Latino character. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, right. That's
well, but it's
it,
also
it really felt that way.
And
honestly,
melting pot of New York, though. I think if we're gonna second guess these people for decisions like that,
I understand that. It just seemed a little like, oh, we're finally doing it. Both y'all guys can be in on this.
Whole thing was a bit disingenuous.
I honestly, and this is what I wanted to bring up, Static Shock as well. I feel like almost all teenage characters are pandering, and I feel like they've always been that way. I feel like the whole introduction of Robin and the whole introduction of Bucky was pandering to children. I mean, like, and
just to sell some toys.
We know this. You know, we know that this was so teens could have a character that they could whose eyes they could look through.
Robin
and
Bucky,
and so they've never felt artistically compelling to me. These new teen sidekick type characters, and I felt like Static Shock ended up in that bucket, and so does the new Spider-Man for me.
Well, I think one thing that was interesting about Static, and shout out to my boy Steve who turned me on to Milestone Comics. Milestone Comics in the 90s were pretty interesting. There's a group of characters no one will remember these guys. And
Icon.
You got Icon, and what's the guy's name?
Hardware.
Yeah, the one group I would say out of those people, and I know how weird it's going to sound with me saying this, but there was a gang fight. There was a gang fight in the city of Dakota, which was the city of Milestone Universe.
Detroit.
And more or less Detroit. And basically there was a gang fight, and during the middle of the gang fight, experimental gas was put on all the gangsters, killing them. And about maybe 12%, 7%, 4% survived and got superpowers. And they were called Bang Babies. And they didn't know what to do with their powers. They were like criminals and fucked up people who got superpowers.
Had kids.
Well, there was a book called Blood Syndicate. And that was a really decent book for a while. Blood Syndicate was a street gang that all had powers. And what does a street gang do with their powers? They literally had no money. They went and robbed crack houses and got the fucking money. They killed drug dealers in the hood, saving the people from the scourge of drugs, jacked a fucking bunch of money, and they were trying to find ways to cure themselves.
They went Punisher.
You know what I mean? And there were great characters like this dude, Fade, who existed across 3 seconds of time so he could fly past you, punch a bunch of times, and then like a couple seconds later you'd get fucked up because he existed in 3 different seconds. He could float through stuff. He was super strong when he wanted to be, when he could control his density. There was a guy called Wise Son who was invulnerable, not super strong, not super fast, just invulnerable. And all the stuff that they did with him just being invulnerable. There were so many characters. DMZ, who was like a Superman type character. He was an alien. He got on top of a building and swung a lantern to try to call ships to come down to save him from Earth because he didn't want to be here anymore. That's what he did in his free time, just swing his lantern and try to see if people could pick him up from space. So many cool ass characters, dude. They had this dude, Boogeyman, who was a white boy who looked like a rat. And they accepted him into the gang, and when they got depowered for a second, they revealed that he was white. The racism that they expressed towards was just so palpable. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
Just Flashback. There was a character named Flashback who could flashback 3 seconds in time because she was Fade's brother. So I guess they had this 3 second temporal thing. So she could, like, they went into a crack house. Crack house blows up. She goes, Flashback. Let's get the fuck out of here. And she was a crackhead. She was a fucking superhero crackhead.
Like they did with Speedy.
No, they
although he was heroin,
he was heroin.
They were ballsy. And I'm really glad we got to shout out to Milestone. They were ballsy. They were trying new things.
They did the shot.
They already knew. They already knew they had to go fucking all in because they're talking about black characters. They're like, this is either going to hit or this is going to fucking flop. So what do? We just put forth all of our best fucking ideas. Mm-hmm. We just go balls to the wall. We don't pussy out like Marvel and DC always do.
Eric Barnes said Blood
Syndicate makes my list for top black characters.
Awesome.
I really think that that's... Blood Syndicate, that's a pretty good comic.
Eric Barnes said, last teen hero debuted that doesn't seem to be pandering and is compelling is Invincible.
Right, but Invincible is its own weird little thing. Because Invincible, he got to create the whole universe. He didn't just inject it into it. But yeah, Invincible fucking rocks. That's a great fucking comic.
I have a weird one. You guys probably will think I'm an idiot for liking it, but it's like a comic I read a long time ago, but I just thought the character was badass. There's no supporting. It's Crimson Avenger.
You're an idiot for liking that. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Avenger is the third one, the black one.
Yeah.
Who she was blind.
And she's the one I like.
Her guns didn't miss.
Yeah, her guns don't miss, and she's a spirit of vengeance. So like, if somebody killed an innocent person, the guns made her do it. But what happened was she was a lawyer. She like some guy got off on some bullshit.
And justice is blind. This fall on CBS.
Exactly. It could totally be a. But she lost a case. And some bullshit like technicality, the cops fucked up or some shit like that. And then this guy is like a fucking horrible person. And so she went and like got these guns, but they happen to be the cursed guns that after she kills the dude, she now has to like go around and wreak vengeance and kill anybody who has killed innocent people. And the guns sort of send her on a vengeance quest. And she's just badass looking. So it's more along the lines of she just looks badass and does cool shit. There's nothing else about it. And Blade.
There's something cool about character design. Yeah, I got to say.
Which is why I like Spawn, by the way.
For me, a weird top figure. And I know we're trying to pick comic book heroes, okay?
But I didn't know that. But I just thought we were superheroes.
Black superheroes. But yeah, if we could just do superheroes, I gotta say, my man Blade, Blade from the movies,
fuck yeah,
is insane.
Blade is on my list. For
Blade
sure.
was on my
insane
number one on my list
good.
Actually.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The first one I put down.
All their strengths, none of their weaknesses. I describe myself as the Blade of the geeks. I get pussy. I'm not socially awkward. And I'm black. I got the motherfucking ass. But we're all dorks, so I'm the fucking Blade of us.
I describe my dad as the opposite of Blade, but for drunks and potheads. None of their strengths and all of their weaknesses. Which basically means, you know, he's a little slow, but also, like, really punchy.
I just really appreciated Blade. Like, David S. Goyer, really, his pitch on Blade was fucking pitch perfect.
And
just,
that's exactly the type of movie they should be doing, not like saying, how can we translate this awesome thing? And it's like, take something that didn't work and fucking fix it.
Yeah, because Blade in the comic books, his superpower is sensitivity to light. That was it. He was a regular
dude. He's got the same power as those little kids from the others.
Dude, hell yeah. I mean, it was so weak how they did him in the comic books. Mm-hmm. It was a miracle if he killed a vampire. It was a fucking miracle if he did. But in there, he walks into hundreds of them and goes, you're not locked in there with me. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me, Rorschach style. He walks into hundreds of them and mows them down like the roaches that they are.
Yeah.
That's one of the most powerful black superheroes I've ever seen in any medium ever.
And also because on top of that, he becomes badass. Because a lot of vampires and people who get powers in general, they don't learn to fight. They don't learn to do all the stuff, even though they have decades to do it.
Right.
You'd think that they'd be the best martial artists ever because they could just study and study and study. But instead, they just rely upon their powers.
Well,
they
just have to take
a
night classes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
but I also like that he has his niche. He says, this is a thing that needs doing. I'm going to fucking do it. He doesn't, and they didn't write him as, oh, well, this week he's going to take on Silver Surfer. It's like, no, he's not going to take on Silver Surfer. He's going to fucking fight vampires. Right, that is what he does.
And
they are a problem in the Marvel Universe, and he fucking fights them, and it's great.
Right.
Okay, just so we can say them out loud, you guys do your top five.
I want Blood Syndicate, Black Panther, in no particular order, Blood Syndicate, Black Panther, Blade from the movies, motherfucking Storm, and I have some characters for Black Derision that we need to get to.
Yeah,
we're finishing up our best.
I gotta say, honorable mention has to go to Luke Cage as number five
Black Panther.
No, Black Panther was on there.
Oh, okay.
Black Panther, Storm. Yeah, Black Panther, Storm, Blood Syndicate, Blade from the movies, S4. And then I got to say Luke Cage, just because when I was a kid, he was probably the only black superhero that was powerful, at least.
That's something okay.
For sure. Okay. On that Blade tip, I want to talk about a trio of superheroes real quick. All right. Are y'all familiar with the Skrull Kill Crew?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, so basically, I'm going to tell a story real quick.
Comics.
It's an old Fantastic Four issue. They end up fighting against Skrulls. I think it might be the first appearance of the Skrulls, actually. So they end up fighting against these Skrull scouts, and Mr. Fantastic hypnotizes them into using their powers to turn into cows. To turn into cows mentally as well, and then they don't know they're fucking cows, and they're stuck as cows. All right,
that's
and
hilarious.
It's ha ha. That's the end of those shape shifting aliens. Cut to years later. Was it Grant Morrison that created them? I didn't realize
Grant,
that.
It was one of Grant Morrison's first jobs at Marvel.
Oh, when he was awesome then, I guess. This is definitely one of his better ideas because he says, "Hey, you know what happened to those cows? They got slaughtered and made into hamburgers. You know what happened to the people that ate those fucking hamburgers? They got weird Skrull powers."
Ooh.
And it was a fucking great idea. And basically these guys, they had Skrull powers, but they were fucked up and it messed them up. They were like Morlocks. They were like, It was more of a detriment to them.
Okay,
you know?
Right.
One of them couldn't hold their shape. Yeah, the fucking leader was named Ryder, and he fucking killed Skrulls with a machine gun and rode around on a motorcycle leading this gang of partial Skrull genetic guys. That their whole point was, we're all dying of this weird Skrull thing that we got from eating this meat, but we are going to take out as many of these fucking Skrulls as we can before we go down.
That's the Skrull kill crew.
So badass. Exactly, the Skrull kill crew. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, the leader of them, Black, all right, and now jump to Bishop.
I was going to include Bishop as a side note.
Awesome. Bishop is an X-Man from the future where, guess what? No one gives a shit what color you are. They care whether you're a mutant or not. They fucking brand your ass with an M over your forehead or over your eye.
He's badass.
To show that you're a mutant. He comes from a place where race doesn't matter. It never occurs to him. It's not a thing for him. And
I'm not.
What I want to say about those three characters, Blade, Ryder, Bishop, they are three characters that the first thing you say about them is not that they are black.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the Black Panther, I love the Black Panther, but the first thing you go, oh, he's this black guy from Africa. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the makeup. And these are characters that were invented not to put a black character in comics. They were invented because they're fucking badass, and they made them black.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They do get mentioned for that.
They just happened to be black.
Right. They're three dudes that, not even like the third thing you'd say about them is that they're black.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this guy's a vampire, but kind of a half vampire. This guy's a mutant. They're all something else, and maybe sometimes that's a metaphor for race. And that's great, but the point is, they're strong role models that you don't talk about them being black all the time. So their identity, the kids who look up to them, their identity doesn't have to be stuck at, I have to think about the fact that I'm black before I do anything.
I have to think about the fact that I'm black too.
Because Storm's a mutant as well, and it doesn't really come up for her. The first important thing about her is that she's a mutant. The second one is that she's a goddess. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
right. Do you have any more on your list?
All right, my number one that I'm going to jump to real quick is the absolute inverse of that, and that's Nighthawk from Squadron Supreme.
Oh, snap.
When Straczynski relaunched that, first off, for everybody who's not familiar, Squadron Supreme is Marvel's iteration of the Justice League, just so they could have a Justice League that would occasionally fight. And so they were from another universe other than 616, but they'd occasionally cross paths just so they could have a Justice League.
Yeah.
So Straczynski gets his hands on it, and he says, okay, I'm going to rewrite the Justice League again using our Squadron Supreme. And he turns the character Nighthawk, who's the analog to Batman, he turns him into this fucking black power guy whose parents were murdered by white people because they were black. And he fucking makes that money. He becomes the peak of human physical power. And he fucking hates white people. And it's awesome. Like, when they show his point of view, like, whenever he has to deal with, like, some dumbass fucking white person, it just cuts back and forth between him, you know, with his perfect physique and stature, and then up against like some chubby white guy. Like, it's awesome the way they do it, and it's that fucking too black, too strong. It's that it's that Olympics standing with the fucking symbol going boom,
yep.
Fist in the fucking air.
Eric
this
Barnes.
Is what this character is, and I love it for that. And of course, it's the exact opposite of the three that I just mentioned. But I don't give a shit. I fucking love how badass.
Well,
the best thing is that he has to deal with a white Superman.
Right.
When Superman pops up, he's white.
Yeah. Well, there's no black characters really and you see how they made him kind of a non-continuity character too.
Well, they fucked that all up when they fired Straczynski and like the entire thing went to shit. But as long as that book was going, The 18 issues of Supreme Power and then like 6 of Squadron Supreme, that's one of the best fucking books ever written.
Right, and I'm just saying, it's just he's one of the only characters who got the right to own being black. Luke Cage never gets to own being black. Black Panther doesn't ever get to own being black. If Black Panther would just simply go, hey man, I run a whole nation of super Negroes, and I think your voting rights thing that you're doing right now, I'm just going to stand outside the polls and make everybody be able to vote. Is that cool? Thank you. You know what I mean? But he never does any of that. Oh, no, I'm going to jack a bunch of food and airlift it over to some African countries and kick ass or whoever's going to stop. Oh, this blood diamond thing? Could have put the kibosh on that. He doesn't do any of that shit. He doesn't own being black at all.
True.
If I got a chance to write Black Panther, I would have him be deposed for some reason and have another king that basically is like their version of W. We have another king of Wakanda, and basically they send people in to fix America, and they go, your country needs some fixing. We're going to do some nation building for you guys. Yeah.
Eric Barnes said, I can't read Squadron Supreme since JMS dropped it. It's like Lowry's prime rib transform into old country buffet.
Oh, yeah.
He was very excited by Nighthawk. I like that. I like that call on Nighthawk, too.
That was my number one.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Cool. I like that. Mine was, we already went through them, but Blade, just because simple badassery. Awesome. John Stewart, like I said, terrible shit happens to him. I'm still going to stand behind Steel. I don't care what you motherfuckers say. I love that he was a self-made badass. Spawn, again, simple badassery. Just looks cool. Crimson Avenger on top of that, again, looking cool, but I love any story that has vengeance on it. But as a side note, I included Bishop, Storm, and then Shadowhawk. I don't know if you remember Shadowhawk.
I remember Shadowhawk, but Shadowhawk had fucking AIDS.
I know.
That was like,
that part was a little shitty.
Son, he has AIDS.
And he's black.
Oh my God. Did you ever read that Hulk where Jim Wilson, who was his sidekick for a little while, has AIDS?
Yep.
And he's like, he basically says to fucking Bruce Banner, he's like, hey man, give me that blood transfusion like you gave Jen Walters, you know, turn me. And he's like, I can't. And Hulk's like, I can't risk it. You know, you could turn into a Hulk like she did. And he's like, yeah,
I also wouldn't have AIDS.
Do that because it fixed her shit. It'll fix my shit. Do that. And I'm like, yeah, do it. And he's like, no, because if you turn into a bad Hulk, like it's like, no, fuck you. Turn him. And then he didn't. And the guy died. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, that was just pretty shitty.
All right, we only have a couple minutes to get into the derisive black, and I'm going to go black characters. There is a black character from the 70s called the Mandrill.
Yep.
Look him up, guys. The Mandrill looks like an ape. He looks like one of those baboons.
Right. And if you just see him, you wouldn't know that he started out black.
You would not know he started out black, but he's a black character who was born as a weird mandrill thing, and his sister was born albino, even though she was black. Her name was Necra. And they were both two evil characters in the 70s that fought Daredevil and other people in the Avengers.
So you're saying she was incredibly beautiful?
Well, she has some big fat lips. Yeah, she had the Angelina Jolie going until she got too skinny. You know what I mean?
She's the Amber Rose of the Marvel Universe.
Right. And so basically, he had, not only was he black, not only did he look like an ape, but he had pheromones that made all women attracted to him. It was like a trifecta of black stereotypes. All the bitches love him. He looks like an ape. And his
name was three letters away from Mandingo.
Yeah. Bang.
Bam. Done.
So that for derision. Also, Cloak of Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a black character who's got a
drug addict,
Teenage runaway, drug addict. He has infinity inside of his cape. There's literally infinity.
He's one of the best, one of the coolest, most original powers.
One of the coolest. And his limitation was he has to suck this white girl's light.
Yep.
He has a white girl psychic that has to throw light daggers inside of him for him to eat. It's like, damn, a nigga can't do nothing without a white bitch around. It's like,
although,
shit.
They do eventually start fighting drug dealers and cleaning up streets.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. And Cloak really came
in. He came in handy
in the Civil War because Mark Miller made him a teleporter. He teleported like 100 people at
because
a time.
He can do that.
You know what I mean? It was pretty bad. And I've seen him do cool shit, like a fucking car drove into him and he turned toward a cliff and let the dude drive out of his cape off the fucking cliff.
It's a great fucking power.
Badass,
we'll all give you that.
Dude. But yeah, but as far as how he's handled, usually pretty whack, but overall he could be good. And last one is Mr. Terrific from the Marvel Universe. from the DC universe. Yeah. He's super smart and all this shit, but honestly, I don't know anything about him, and he doesn't look cool. He's got a stupid T on his face. He's got a black face on his face.
It's an uppercase T for time to go home.
Or time to kill.
Well, there's a couple other things, too. There was this guy, I was looking through the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
One of them was Hakeem Thunder, who gets powers from Johnny.
Hakeem Thunder, yeah.
Well,
he was after Johnny Thunder. He basically has a
genie.
A pet genie.
Yeah. But to get his genie, he says, "Say you," and "so cool." Literally
shit.
What he says to get his genie to come out.
I got one more. Black Lightning. I was reading the Black Lightning miniseries. Black Lightning is from Metropolis. Mm-hmm. Okay, he lives in fucking Metropolis with Superman. So why would an electric powered Electro type guy who's a black street level superhero, why would he ever have to exist in Metropolis? They literally explained in his limited series that there is a magic dude who runs the ghetto. And that is why Black Lightning exists, because he has to fight crime there, because Superman literally gets sick when he goes to the hood. Message? That's a message for your ass. Superman can't go to the hood because he gets sick. So the black superhero has to handle the crime in that area. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
Okay.
And then another thing that I wanted to mention, because this happens I was going through a bunch of the characters, just kind of looking at some that I'd never heard of or whatever. There were a zillion black characters who were professional athletes or Olympians, Olympic gold medalists.
Triathletes who then turned into man starting out as an athlete.
Who then got superpowers or then become a hero when something goes wrong.
Oh, also Night Thrasher. Night Thrasher.
And his brother Rage, right?
Right. Was a rich black dude who rode around on a razor-tipped skateboard with a bunch of armor on. I'm done. I'm done talking. If I have to talk more, you don't fucking get it. You don't get how terrible that shit is.
All I heard was razor tip skateboard. I'm sold.
Razor tip skateboard.
He basically fought crime the same way that little kid does in Phantasm 3.
Dude, gleaming the Negro. Why are you doing this?
Oh my god, okay. That's awesome.
One that I want to pull out just of my head is, and this is not a superhero, but if y'all remember The Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit had some great fucking comics. Will Eisner is one of the mm-hmm. best, widely regarded as one of the best, and that was an amazing comic. It had a lot of like Twilight Zone-esque little stories, like there's little O. Henry stories featuring this superhero guy, the Spirit, who couldn't die for some reason, whatever.
Yeah.
His fucking sidekick thing was a house boy that looked like a goddamn monkey. It basically... It's blackface. I mean, he basically looked like a little tiny version of Amos and Andy. Like, it's the worst. He looks like a little fucking mammy doll, and it kills me, because that was such a good book. And you're like, wait a minute, this guy that has all these great social ideas and all these great science fiction ideas, like, he didn't see that at the time. He didn't look at that and go, that's fucking racist as shit.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And there was, well before when they first were trying, they put, and I think this is the 50s, put a character named Whiteout. who basically looked like they drew him like he was blackface.
Oh, you know what? I got a character I made up just now. His name is White Flight. And he moves into neighborhoods, and his power is to make white people move out. Can we do that?
He's the guy who made Superman leave the hood.
Right, exactly.
And he's
white
magic.
Flight coming yeah, we to a definitely comic book do that. Shop near you.
Well, if he's magic, then he works on Superman.
Ah!
Nice. Well, it looked like we had a bunch of agreements in Blade, Storm, right? I think we agreed Storm.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Blade and Storm got to be up there.
Blade, Storm, and motherfucking Black Panther. All the rest of those fools, I really don't care.
Fair enough. I still support Jon Stewart.
Well, I'll just throw on Nighthawk as this one to round out.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Nighthawk, by the way. That's awesome.
Storm can stand in for Bishop.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
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 Although I like Bishop better before they fucking raped him.
And oh yeah, big shout out to Captain Marvel. Hopefully, Monique Rambeau or what's her name?
Monica Rambeau.
Rambeau. Hopefully, she gets another push because a black character that can fly at the speed of light, command the Avengers, shoot all kind of rays and shit. That's pretty hot. Do
yeah, we need more of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get your shit together, people. Write some good shit. We're going to talk about Justice League, most likely, our theory of what Justice League movie should be next week.
We'll probably think of something different to talk about.
There'll be a bunch of different stuff. Thank you guys for listening to Angry Dork's podcast. We're here Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. at www.skidrowstudios. You guys rock. And Ed is awesome. Matt is awesome. Bruce Jingles is awesome. And I have a huge
at Ed
intellect.
Greer Destroys.
Ed Greer
at
Destroys.
Matt Blackwood. At Dorky Swallow.
Bam. Work, guys.